When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is not quite live, kind of live. It's live to you. It's live to me. It's not live on the radio this evening on 92.9 The Game. We're getting late in the calendar year. Bowl games, contractual obligations, these things happen. And a lot of times that means, hey, a week off and we get to chill out and relax. And not right now, not in Atlanta, not when we're talking soccer, because things are happening in the Atlanta United universe. We'll talk more about the variety of things that are happening after we talk about what happened today in Marietta, the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground. The media was on hand to welcome Chris Henderson to Atlanta. It came out Sunday evening. Tom Bogert of Give Me Sport was the first to report it. Not a major surprise. Chris Henderson is the new chief soccer officer and sporting director of Atlanta United. And his name was really the only one that had been bandied around for this role. The relationship with Garth Lagerwey, obviously a huge factor. The way things changed kind of underneath his feet in Miami with Inter Miami, also a factor. But it all came together, and Chris Henderson is now in Atlanta starting the process of getting ready for the 2025 season. He spoke to the media. I'll share some clips from that with you as well. But Mike Conte and I were very fortunate to be able to sit down with Chris after he spoke to the media. We headed downstairs to the tactics room at the training ground and were surrounded by some very shiny pieces of hardware. Chris Henderson knows shiny pieces of hardware very, very well in his career. But it's always nice to be reminded of them as you're having this kind of a conversation. Here is Mike and I with Chris Henderson from earlier today.
Chris, you know, I look behind you here. We have a U.S. Open Cup. We have an Anschutz Trophy. You've won some of these in your career, and now you're charged with winning more of these here in Atlanta. So welcome.
Thank you.
It's going to be a challenge, obviously. What do you think is your number one day one priority as the new chief soccer officer for Atlanta United?
Day one was yesterday, and we did have some meetings to go through player transactions. We have two DP spots open. We started to go through the research that they have done, the data analytics on all the players. So it's about it's about tackling how we get the best player for Atlanta United.
How complete do you think this roster is at this point of the offseason? I know the designated player spot, but then other moves that always come up in the league. How close do you think you are to where you want to be?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's some really good pieces here. I do think there needs to be improvement. I think, you know, some of those key signings can really bring out the best of Maranchuk. So it's about how does this signing impact our team? How does this signing complement the other players around him? And I think you have to really dig deep into all the attributes and kind of the profiles in each position to really maximize it. And, you know, I think the other thing that's a major priority is getting the head coach in, because that's a key collaboration between all of us. We can say whatever we want, but until the head coach is weighing in on a lot of these decisions, how he's going to prepare the team, how he's going to play, that affects the movements that we have.
You used a word a second ago, profile. And Jason and I, over the years, as we've kind of told the story of Atlanta United, we talk about the profile of an Atlanta United player. And Carlos Bocanegra had a specific profile, and Darren Eales had a specific profile, and even Garth, I think, has talked to us about the profile of an ideal Atlanta United player. What does that profile look like to you?
Yeah, and that's something that in the next months I will work with the recruitment team and in preparing those, because those will adjust obviously with the coach. But you know, I do think it's about players who are committed to the long-term vision of the club, players who carry the values of the club. I think you look at a player and you first look at the person. Are they adjustable? Are they adaptable? What would they be like when they live here? Like, how will they carry themselves? So that part of the whole person, I think, is really important, the character of the player, before you even get into the technical, tactical, physical parts. But I do think there's got to be minimum standards in physical. This is a really hard and physical league. We have a lot of travel. We have different playing surfaces. We have different weather. We have different time zones. It's not like any other league in the world. You know, maybe in Brazil you have some long travel, in Russia, but most places in Europe or South America, you're taking a bus to a game. Mm-hmm. And we're flying 4 or 5 hours sometimes to games. So there's a big adjustment. I do think having players who can come in here and adapt and complement the key players that you have is going to be really important.
You know this league maybe better than anybody, having played in it and worked in it pretty much since day one. How has that profile of a player that you're looking to bring in evolved over time?
Yeah, it's a good question. When I started, there was, I think, 10 teams in the league, 12 teams in the league. We now have 30. There's top players now from all over the world who are coming, not just there are some top players who are in their late 30s, but there are some players coming at prime age, from their late 20s to early 30s, who are choosing MLS as their league of choice. So for us, that evolution in our league, that's a really big deal. And it's an opportunity for us to sell what we have here, this building, this training center, the stadium we play in is one of the best in the world. It's a, you know, a World Cup venue. So if you can't sell a player when he comes to this market, then I don't know how you're going to bring players in, because this has everything. It has the commitment of ownership. We have a lot of money to spend. We have a connection with our fans. You look at the attendance of games. When Atlanta won in the playoffs against Miami, that atmosphere was incredible. And the noise in the building was incredible. So that's what I want to hear when I have home games. I want the crowd to celebrate like that and leave the stadium like, I want to come back again. That game was amazing. So it's what we want to create, and I think it comes down to building an exciting attacking team.
You're going to get a lot of questions about designated players over the next couple weeks, because Atlanta United has two open slots, so why don't we just get started right now, shall we? Here at Atlanta United, Joseph Martinez, I think, is the only designated player who stayed here longer than 3 years, I want to say. If you look at Seattle, for example, where you spent quite a long time, it was very, very different, where there were designated players maybe of different ages, but they were long-term kind of fixtures with the club. Is that what you want to do here in Atlanta? Are you looking for designated players who are going to be here for the long term, or are you looking for designated players that you can buy low and sell high?
Yeah, great questions. There's a lot of layers to that question. I think you can bring players. Some of it, again, comes down to the motivation of the player. If the player's coming to make a move after, then sometimes you maximize the 2-3 years you have them here and you get the most out of them. Mm-hmm. There's other players who are coming and they want to settle. They may have their reasons, their family or other reasons. They love the city, that they come in and you want to build something for a long, long period. We had that in several teams. I had that with players who wanted, they just didn't want to leave. And everything I have found is the players at Atlanta United, none of them want to leave because you guys are doing something right around them, the city, the crowd, the connection. So that's a good thing that you're able to bring the players, lure them in, and keep them here. So I do think it's a combination of player motivation. It's a combination of the impact of the player and the success of the player while he's here. If things are going well and you have a core that you're going to ride with, you have to base it on where they are in their contract. Are you going to re-sign them and extend their deal? So there's a lot of the cap implications that come in. Sometimes you just can't keep a team together and you need to make adjustments. Or sometimes a young player is coming through and you need a pathway for them. And they're going to be a player who's going to maybe sit in this position for 4 or 5 years, and you want to just clear that out so you can have some homegrown talent that's cheaper and then spend heavily on other positions. So it's always a balancing act, and you have a lot of balls in the air, but it is one thing that working with Garth, he's very good at the strategic planning, Demetrius also. So working with those guys and how you build a team and the transition and the succession plan is important.
Was part of the appeal of coming to Atlanta for you having 2 designated player spots open and having the ability to really put an imprint, your imprint, on this team?
It was. I feel like it's exciting when you can really put your fingerprints on it. And I know that the group here, I know how I work with them. Yeah. There's a lot of trust there. So yeah, it was exciting. And again, I have been a fan of this club and since the expansion year. And what a start the club had. And having a trophy that early in the start, it's a young club, really. And there isn't a lot of times where you can go to a club that's, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, and you can go and really mold things of how things could be, you know, 20 years from now. And you play a part in that history of the club. So I've been really proud of the clubs I've worked for and the fingerprints that I've been able to put on the clubs. And of course, yes, we want to win these. That's why I came here. I want a club that's ambitious and wants to win trophies.
I know your analysis of the personnel must only really be getting underway. So this is more of a big picture question. But have you identified certain positions that you're really going to lock in on over the next couple weeks with recruitment, with analysis? Obviously, there's a need at center forward for this team right now. I think Garth has talked about maybe an attacking winger being part of that plan as well. Where are you in your analysis of positions of need at the moment, and specifically, are there spots on the pitch where you're really looking to dig in?
Just beginning. The analysis is just beginning because things have gone in the last week. It's been like a whirlwind, and I was scouting for a different team a few days ago. So my mindset is completely flipped now, and it's exciting. Uh-huh. I had lots of meetings yesterday with the recruitment team and going through targets and looking at different positions. And you know, I need to spend even more time looking at Atlanta United games and studying where players are at and my feeling on the current roster. Obviously, we played against you last year, but I need to know like details of, you know,
sure,
how players play and how we can complement those and any changes that we need to make. But it's exciting to work with a new team of people and all the research that has been done before I came in and now trying to catch up to speed.
It's such an interesting time in the league with San Diego coming in this year to get to Team 30 with a World Cup just around the corner. You know, how would you kind of assess where MLS is with your vision of seeing it from that 10-team start to now 30? How would you describe where it is and what it can be after that World Cup?
Yeah, I think this is one of the major turning points in the history of soccer in the United States. Like, I compare to, I was part of the whole build-up to the 94 World Cup as a player. We didn't even have MLS then. And it was supposed to come in 95. They had to push it to 96. But it was this wave of of things happening in our country at that time. And pretty amazing to think we hosted a World Cup without even a first division pro league. So now we're at a point where, you know, this league is decades old. We have established that top players, the best player in the world, is in our league. We have a completely different landscape. And now we're hosting a World Cup with Canada and Mexico, where we can have all the eyes of the world looking at not only the World Cup, but MLS leading up to it. I think it's an opportunity for all of our owners, all of our league, to maximize this, bring in top players. What are we going to do after the World Cup? Who's going to stay? Because you look at the 94 World Cup, how many players stayed after that? Valderrama, Echeverry, Jaime Campos. Moreno, Campos. Yeah. You go through that whole World Cup, there was 50 players or something that stayed. So what is this impact going to have in post-World Cup? And, you know, the Club World Cup, you have the Women's World Cup. There's so many things, the Olympics. It's pretty exciting to be a soccer person in America right now.
One more, because I know you're out of time, and we appreciate your time. I have to have a little bit of fun with you.
Okay.
Game three, Messi scores. There's a little bit of a dust up in the net. It's 2-2. What were you thinking as all of that was unfolding? And now that you're on the Atlanta side of things, you can be maybe a little less diplomatic. Because that's going to go down as one of the all-time memories for this club, I think. What was your reaction and your perspective as all of that was unfolding in the final couple minutes of that really very major upset?
Yeah, it was like that. The lights went out. The goal happens. You feel the adrenaline. And then, yeah, I was on the other side by the bench, and I looked over and saw something happening in the goal, and then with Suarez and with Messi wanting to grab that. You know, after you score a goal, you always want to go grab the ball. And the defender, the keeper want to grab the ball too, and it always causes problems. And I think it's just the competitive nature of both, you know, both teams, both players. I spoke with all of them after, including Brad, and it's just, you know, they all have tremendous respect for each other, but it was an intense moment, and it really was, I was on the other end and lost that series, but it was an exciting series, and you understand why the playoffs come into it, and it's not just Supporters Shield. Playoffs are exciting, and that was a prime. If you were a fan just watching, you would have been like, that was a good series.
It was great. We especially enjoyed the outcome, but we're glad you're with us now. Chris, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We look forward to seeing what's ahead in the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Great.
A pleasure.
Great conversation with Chris Henderson, the new chief soccer officer at Atlanta United. You wouldn't have been able to tell from just listening to that audio, but the sheer professionalism of Mike Conte. The lights went out in one of that last moment as Mike was asking the final question, and Chris talked about it in his answer, but the lights go out and Mike's just rolling on, knowing that this is going to be used for audio. We didn't need a second take. We got it done, and that was a great conversation, I thought. Really enjoyed getting to know Chris a little bit more, and we're going to get to know him much more over the months and hopefully years to come. Really excited about this appointment. I'll talk a little bit more about it. We'll talk about some of the other moves around MLS and specifically things that might be related to Atlanta United. All of that will come up right after this little short break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Not on 92.9 The Game tonight, but on the Odyssey app and available wherever you get your podcasts if you are subscribed to Off the Woodwork.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Not quite live, not exactly live at all, but it's live to you, it's live to me, it's live to all of us listening on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts under the Off the Woodwork folder. That's where all of our soccer content from 92.9 The Game goes to. I'm Jason Longshore. It's been a busy day. We were up in Marietta at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground to be introduced to Chris Henderson. I'm really excited about Chris's arrival in Atlanta. Was really excited about the opportunity to sit down with him and have a little bit longer chat and go into a little more detail. Look, it's early days for Chris. This is a big project, and there's a lot of expectations. You know that he comes in prepared as best as you can be on the outside of the building. It's very different on the inside of the building. And this is somebody that I think is going to really do an amazing job with the team around him with Atlanta United. And that's something that I wanted to get into in this segment. I wanted to share a few clips with you from the press conference portion of the day. And let's just start with the question to Garth Lagerwey from Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic about how the club came to the decision to go get Chris Henderson to be the chief soccer officer and sporting director.
In terms of timing, how do we know? We interviewed a number of people. Some of that was just logistical in the sense that we had to have team seasons end before we could get permission to talk to their executives in a lot of cases. So that timing was kind of spread out. But look, given my track record with Chris, while it certainly wasn't clear if Chris was going to be available or not, at the time when he became available, then honestly, he went to the top of the list and we thought, hey, you know, there might be an opportunity here. But certainly that was not known for a considerable period. We'd like to say thank you to Miami for allowing Chris to leave. They were really gentlemanly about it, and you know, really appreciate, you know, working that collegially across the league, and hopefully have a great opportunity going forward with me and Chris.
So Chris worked with Garth Lagerwey in Seattle for a number of years, and I think it's really interesting that Chris predated Garth with the Sounders. He predated the MLS version of the Sounders by a year. He was the one who came in to really help get them ready for that transition from USL to Major League Soccer. And Garth came in above Chris, and they still were able to fashion a really good working relationship. It doesn't always go that way. That's a very difficult situation at times. And in this one, it became a very important partnership for both of these guys. Now, Chris went to Inter Miami and has had a great run with the Herons. Look, getting Lionel Messi and friends helps for sure. But I think Henderson really bolstered that group with some key strategic pickups and managed the salary cap very, very well in the wake of the penalties that made it difficult to put a competitive team on the field. And I think Henderson did a very good job of that before Messi arrived, and then continued to find those pieces that could supplement Messi and Suarez and Alba and Busquets. Here is Chris Henderson talking about some of the things that he learned during his time in Fort Lauderdale.
There's a lot of lessons learned over the last 4 years. What I have found is there's many different ways to build a team, and there is different roster categories and mechanisms, how you can sign players in the league. And you can be successful on a young team. You can be successful mixing veteran players with young players. I feel to have success in this league, you need to be able to have depth in each position. And that's going to be a focus. Is, you know, you can have your starting group, but what happens when you have injuries? What happens when players get called up to international duty? You need to have those answers ready and give your coach and your coaching staff all the weapons they need to have success. Because there's going to be ups and downs in a season. And to go through last season where we had an incredible regular season, and knowing that you need a team that can compete in multiple tournaments. Sometimes you have 2-3 different tournaments to go through during the season. So I'm really excited because we have 2 designated player spots open. There's huge potential for how we can build this team. We have a history of working together and with the staff, with Demetrius, with Jonathan, with Arjun, with the group that we have here. I think we have a lot of resources and really smart people who can help build a strong team.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. That was Chris Henderson. I'm Jason Longshore talking about Chris Henderson's appointment as the new chief soccer officer and sporting director here at Atlanta United. I wanted to share this part of the press conference with you. A lot of questions, obviously, about, you know, what he's going to do with the designated player spots being open and other things that, look, maybe he couldn't get into too much. But something that jumped out to me getting to see Garth Lagerwey and Chris Henderson sitting, you know, in front of the room together, was just the camaraderie between these two, just the relationship between these two. And I think the human element is just so important in these sorts of things when we talk about sports. You know, like, we expect athletes to be superheroes at times. We expect, you know, coaches to not be shaken by criticism and to be, again, almost superhuman at times. These are human beings. And I wanted to ask something about that human element of the relationship between these two, which has been a very, very strong partnership in this league. So here's my question to Garth and Chris, and here's their answers to that.
I wanted to ask you guys about your partnership and how a lot of times partnership, collaboration, you guys complement one another well. So I'd like to have both of you to answer. Garth, what does Chris bring to the table that maybe was missing from the club and helps you be better at what you do? And same for you, Chris. What does Garth bring that makes you better at your job?
Jason, I think from day one, I have maybe an executive skill set. You know, I'm trained as a lawyer. I tend to think very linearly and maybe get bogged down in logic sometimes. But I'm very process-oriented. Chris is, again, I think the best talent evaluator in the league. So, again, different skill sets. And it's, you know, I'm making it overly simple there because, to be clear, I think there's some good overlap where we collaborate on a number of things. But if you want to break it down really in the basics, Chris has an incredible eye for talent. Young players, old players, again, he's built different teams and different models across different clubs. And I think that type of flexibility and experience, that all ladders up to Chris as a proven winner. And so I think, you know, you take our two skill sets, and you add Chris's track record, and you say, hey, proven winner. We've been adding proven winners across all these departments. That's going to drive the club forward.
Yeah, and I would echo what Garth said about being a winner. Garth's a winner as well. He's done it at a smaller club in Salt Lake. He's done it in Seattle, and we're going to do it here in Atlanta. So I do feel like Garth sometimes will come at a different perspective, and sometimes I'll see things in a different way because of what Garth brings to it. He's very direct, which I prefer. And we've been able to set goals together, accomplish those. He's a great away from work too. He's a great family man and very close friend of mine. So there is something being able to work with a friend and have success together.
Something that has really jumped out to me from today, and one, I thought the answers from both Garth and Chris to that question was really interesting, and I'm always intrigued by how people work together and how people like Garth surround themselves with people who bring something different to the table. Not looking for more of the same, not looking for somebody who is in lockstep, but somebody who brings something that you don't have and can work with you to succeed together. Doesn't always happen that way in business and sport. And in this case, I think it's obvious that it does with these two. And Garth really zeroing in on Chris Henderson's eye for talent. That makes so much sense when you talk about some of the success stories that Chris has had in his run as a sporting director, chief soccer officer, general manager, you know, however you want to term the position. We talked about it a lot during the playoffs against Miami. Yannick Bright, who is going to be the 20th guy talked about on the Miami roster typically, ended up becoming a vital player for that team. That's a player coming out of the super draft. You know, that's a very strong possibility that Chris had a hand in selecting him or going along with the recommendation to select him. From our conversation, I think it was clear that Chris wants to get really stuck in on what these players that Atlanta United currently has under contract are like as soccer players. I mean, not just the basic stuff from watching games and film. I think he wants to get into, you know, what makes them tick as a player. And I think some of that came out talking about Alexei Maranchuk and how to get the best out of him. You know, Chris is going to have a strong opinion about what that can be, whether it's him playing as a 10 and having a left winger who can get in behind, whether it's Maranchuk playing off of the right wing, cutting inside on his left foot and being an inverted winger, whether it's playing off of the left side, for example, whether it's playing as a second forward, for example. Those things don't sound like a big deal, but they do when you have these two designated player spots open and you have to come up with the strategy to build this team to have success. Because, as Chris said, the two designated player spots, the three that you have in your roster, are vital. If you get those right, more often than not, you're going to have a very good team. You might not have the best team because the other pieces become very, very important as well. But if you get the three right, you're going to be a very good team. If you don't, it's a lot harder to be successful. So you have Alexei Maranchuk in the roster. He's not going anywhere. You need to get the best out of him. So Henderson's eye for talent will be important in two ways. How can you construct the team around Maranchuk to get the best out of him? And then going out and identifying those other pieces. And then the next level of, okay, the non-designated player additions. Do you feel like you need a different kind of profile at a certain position? Do you want to, you know, move guys around? What about the young players coming up? Do you see them being able to contribute now? Do they need to go out on loan? Do they need more time? All of that sort of stuff. Having somebody like Chris and his eye for talent, it's going to be very important for this club going forward. And it gives Garth a different perspective than he might have with his eye for talent. Those two have worked together to find the best solution for the club that they were at previously. Seattle had a very successful run with the both of them there. Hopefully, the same thing will happen here in Atlanta. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk about roster moves that have been done, some news and rumor and innuendo from around the league. One more segment to go on this special edition, a digital edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts at Off the Woodwork.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight on the Odyssey app. On your podcatcher under Off the Woodwork. Make sure you are subscribed to Off the Woodwork if you want all of the latest soccer content from 92.9 The Game. There's going to be a whole lot of it coming your way in 2025, and honestly starting pretty early in 2025 because we know one game that is on the books now for Atlanta United. We know another game that is all but on the books for Atlanta United. And I think we are starting to see some other things take shape. Not the designated player signings. That's not happening yet. The head coach search. Garth Lagerwey talked about it being a week or two away from an announcement there. So stay tuned. That could be within a week. That could be before Christmas. That could be before New Year's. Going to be interesting to see when that gets done. Chris Henderson, who was introduced today, talked about having been briefed on the candidates, the final candidates. Didn't give a number, so we're not quite sure what that is looking like. We do know the first time that Atlanta United will be in action in front of the public, unless something changes, is in Chattanooga, in Finley Stadium against Chattanooga FC on Saturday, January 25th for a 3 p.m. kickoff. The following weekend, it is not officially announced yet, but the event was up on Ticketmaster this week. Atlanta United at Birmingham Legion on Saturday, February 1st, and that was looking like a 4:30 Eastern time kickoff, 3:30 Central time. We are working on broadcast plans and situations for both of those games, so stay tuned. We'll have plenty of coverage here on 92.9 The Game, obviously. Hopefully some broadcasts of preseason action for Atlanta United here on the station. You guys know by now that's what we always do whenever we are able to do so. Excited to see this team get out on the field again. Honestly, I mean, soon. It's 5 weeks, basically, before that game in Chattanooga. It's crazy to think about it being that quick. I mean, preseason camp is opening in 3 to 4 weeks for Atlanta United. Going to be fascinating. Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be some new faces that we will all get to know together. But one familiar face is back for Atlanta United. Ronald Hernandez, his re-signing was announced late last week. Not a major surprise, especially with Brooks Lennon being out with the shoulder injury. For months when it was announced in November, have not heard any updates, obviously, as players are away from the building in many cases. So you would expect that he's going to miss at least a portion, if not all, of preseason. So then there has to be fitness ramping up. And with a shoulder, look, it's tricky. There can be fitness going on to an extent, but not full fitness being developed, no contact, ideally, those sorts of things. It's a difficult one to judge. So getting Ronald Hernandez back under contract, a player who, you know, we featured quite a bit here on the station, because of his willingness to, I think, be very open with us. I'll always remember this year after the Columbus match and him talking about how well he played and how much it meant to him to get back on the field, how he had been struggling personally, not playing as much as he would have liked to. And he was in great form at that time, got hurt, got healthy again, got hurt again, came back, missed one game in the postseason due to illness. That was the loss in postseason against Miami in game one. He did not start the game against Orlando, but then came on because of all the injuries in the Eastern Conference semifinal. The last six games that Ronald Hernandez started for Atlanta United, the club didn't lose. Fascinating stat. That one really kind of shocked me a little bit when the news broke and got a chance to talk about that. 4-0-2 in the last six games that Ronald Hernandez started for Atlanta United. So we don't know the contract terms. I would assume it is a deal that Ronald wanted to stay in Atlanta, a place that he has really come to love with his family, and a cap-friendly deal for Atlanta United in getting Ronald in maybe the right amount of money for the role that he will give you. I think he'll play a little bit of center back, a little bit of right center back, a little bit of right back, a little bit of right wing back, and be a contributor and be a guy on the training pitch who is always pushing the team forward. Not every signing is a guy who's going to score 10 goals and have 10 assists. Not every signing is about a starter. Not every signing has to be the biggest shocking, flashing headline kind of move. Sometimes a good signing is one that makes the team better when they practice and makes the locker room a better place. And I think Ronald Hernandez checks off both of those boxes in a very, very big way. Some other news from around the league. A local talent in Jimmy Maurer, who developed here in Atlanta, played for the Atlanta Silverbacks in his early days as a professional. 36 years old now. He was with FC Dallas for the last 8 years. You know, you always wonder if a player like that is going to make their way back home to Atlanta. He is not in this case. He has signed with the Houston Dynamo for two seasons. He signed through the 2026 season. 16 clean sheets in 66 games with FC Dallas. A player who I've always enjoyed when I've had the chances to catch up with him, and a player who I think still has a good bit to give. Jimmy Maurer will be headed to Houston. There's been a lot of rumor. There's been a lot of other things going on when we talk around the league. Some homegrown signings like Colin Gusky from Orlando City, Pedro Martins from FC Dallas moving up from North Texas, the MLS Next Pro side. Jack Elliott, a free agent, he has signed with the Chicago Fire, leaving Philadelphia Union. Philadelphia did re-sign Alejandro Bedoya, and I wonder how that one will end up going. Some outgoings, Nicolas Acevedo leaving New York City, headed to Brazil. It's that kind of time of year, you know. We'll see. Nothing crazy yet. There are some rumors coming out of France about Wilfried Nancy potentially being of interest. I'm intrigued. Saint-Étienne. No official contact between the two clubs, according to Tom Bogert. Saint-Étienne would have to request permission to speak to Wilfried Nancy because he is under contract. It's an interesting one. San Diego had their expansion draft. Atlanta did not lose any players in that. San Diego picked up a few additions during that. They have been teasing a major signing as well. San Diego is going to be a fascinating one this year with Chucky Lozano coming into the league, playing in a market where I think he will be a mega star. Really interested to see what that looks like for him. The expansion draft for San Diego, maybe the biggest name with a local sense is Hamadi Diop, who played in college at Clemson. Didn't get much of an opportunity with Charlotte FC. I do like his potential a lot. I thought maybe Yuri Tavares would be the player from Charlotte that would get drafted here, but I like Diop's potential, and a left-sided defender is always somebody that can be useful for you. Jesper Loffelsen, who was picked up from the Colorado Rapids, another nice addition in that expansion draft for San Diego. So that's really where things stand right now. There will be more that happens between now in the end of the calendar year when it comes to Major League Soccer. I think one of the biggest things is the head coach here in Atlanta. There's other coaching vacancies that are still open as well. And, you know, I don't know which domino is going to fall first. New York City is one, and they've been linked to Jim Curtin. Matt Doyle talked about it, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week here on AST. Jim Curtin was linked by most of the national media to Atlanta, and there had been reports about requests for interviews. Matt Doyle, in a column this week, said that he is hearing that it won't be Jim Curtin here in Atlanta. He said, but I think it will be someone we're all familiar with, which is interesting. New York City has been linked with Jim Curtin, although that's gone quiet. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. And I wonder if maybe there was a pause button hit while the deal was getting done to bring Chris Henderson to Atlanta. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation that we had with Chris Henderson. I hope you enjoyed the other clips from the press conference. If you guys have any questions, anything you want to have tackled, because we're going to be doing these digital editions of AST as we close out 2024. Our Tuesday nights are being taken over by Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and lots of things happening on the station. So these will be podcast editions to close out the year. As news warrants it, we will break in and do something special. But we will have two more editions of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. And if you guys out there do have topics that you want me to dig into, pontificate on, ramble on about, whatever you prefer, please shoot me a message on the social media platform of your choice. You can find me at Longshoe, whether we're talking about X, Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, wherever you want to find me, you can find me in those platforms. Also, if you are in the Atlanta area tomorrow evening, our SDH Network Soccer down here that I'm sure many of you guys check out on a regular basis. Hopefully you do. You can subscribe to Soccer Down Here wherever you get your content as well. We are having a very special event at the Brewhouse Cafe in Little Five Points. It is a broadcaster's roundtable with myself, with our own Mike Conti, with Jessica Charman, the color analyst for Charlotte FC, and the NWSL, and the USL Super League, among a million other things that Jess is up to these days. And our old friend Kevin Egan, the host of MLS 360 on Apple TV's MLS Season Pass, former play-by-play commentator for Bally Sports here in Atlanta, Fox Sports South as well. Kevin, Jess, Mike, and myself, we will be taking questions from the crowd. You have to be there to hear it. There's no telling where this thing goes. It could go completely off the rails in the first 5 minutes. Anything is possible. That will be tomorrow evening from 7 to 9. Tomorrow evening, if you're listening to this on Tuesday night, it is Wednesday, December 18th from 7 to 9 p.m. Free to attend. We are requesting a donation from those who attend for a Soccer for Good fund that we are launching with the SDH Network in 2025 to support some great local nonprofits and give more kids opportunities to develop, to play, to learn, to network, and to be exposed to the greater good through this game that we all love so much. We will have a year-ending 343 as well. I'm looking forward to trying to sum up my 2024 in a segment with three local stories, four headlines, and three things that make me smile about this game that I love so much. So stay tuned. That'll close out the year here on AST. But we will be back next week with another edition on Tuesday. I'll probably try to release it a little bit earlier in the day on Christmas Eve. So if you need a break on the evening of Christmas Eve and you want to tuck away and grab your favorite frosty beverage and sit down and listen to me talk about whatever is new in the soccer world, I will be there for you next Tuesday night. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for consuming the show. However you do so, if you listen live on the radio on Tuesday nights, if you listen to the podcast, if you listen to the other content that we post throughout the season, thank you so much. It allows me to do what I love to do that I never would have guessed would have even been possible to do. So thank you for that. And we will be back next week to talk more soccer in Atlanta on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Adios, everybody.